You are listening to The Link, an interactive podcast hosted by public policy experts at the U.S. Oncology Network. Your link to the policy that matters most.
Thanks for joining The Link podcast. This is your link to the legislature. My name is Ben Jones, Vice President of Government Relations and Public Policy for the U.S. Oncology Network. In today's episode, we're actually really excited to be coming live from our first annual state policy forum, where we've invited some of our consultants, lobbyists, legislative leaders across the country representing our practices to really get in the room, look each other in the eye, share best practices, and just talk about how we can kind of collaborate and build up what's happening in other states. So I'm really excited about it. Joined this morning by three of the attendees who have been probably the longest relationship with U.S. Oncology. So we're going to go around. If you could please just introduce yourself, what practice you represent, how long you've been a part of that relationship, and candidly, how much you've enjoyed working with the U.S. Oncology Network, how the team's fantastic.
Good morning, Ben. Tom Pohl with the Pohl Haas Law Firm, representing Minnesota Oncology and U.S. Oncology in Minnesota. I've had the pleasure of that relationship for a little over 20 years, I believe it is. We've seen a lot of changes come and really have had a lot of success over the years, both legislatively and regulatorily. Look forward to many more.
Nice. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, good morning, Ben, and thanks for having us here in Las Vegas. I can tell you, I getting together with my colleagues around the country, I really enjoy learning from them. I think this is helpful for all the lobby teams around the country. And so, I've been working with the U.S. Oncology Network in the state of Oregon for just under 20 years with the two practices there, Compass Oncology and Willamette Valley Cancer Institute. And it's been a great ride. We've had a lot of good successes over the years, and I really enjoyed working with you all and your team.
Kyle?
Good morning. Kyle Morrow. I'm with Hilco Partners, a lobby firm in Austin, Texas. And while I've been there and representing Texas Oncology for about 10 years, the relationship between Hilco and Texas Oncology preceded myself. So it's been a great relationship, had a lot of success and some failures that we've learned from. And, of course, looking forward to putting all those learnings to good use in the future.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. And it's an important point because we can't just talk about the successes. There are a lot of failures that we need to learn from. And, candidly, this is the right time to do it. My team and our team has really kind of made this pivot to focusing on state policy. Have to watch what's happening in Washington, D.C., although I think most of us wish we could ignore some of it. But it's so chaotic that at times you just don't make progress on policy initiatives. So we've really started to pivot. We've seen this massive uptick in focus of state policy. So this is the right time to get together, learn from our failures, celebrate, and talk through our successes. So maybe I'll go around and ask each of you. I'm going to give you some time to think through it. Talk to me about like the biggest win in your state that when you represented the practice, and then how engaged the physicians were in making that success. I'll let anybody jump in, whoever wants to go first.
I'll jump in. I'm going to talk about our efforts to pass the bill prohibiting white bagging mandates. So this is something that we jumped into a couple sessions ago. Our first effort was unsuccessful, but we, did a lot of education. Nobody, including myself, really knew what white bagging was going into that session, but we used a lot of boot leather to make sure that people were well educated and understood the problems associated with that practice. Like I mentioned, we were unsuccessful our first time, but the second time around, we ultimately passed the bill in a form that we were happy with, and due in large part to the involvement of physicians in the Texas Oncology practice. The first session, Dr. Deborah Pat was instrumental in, you know, kind of being part of that educational effort. You know, nobody knows it like the physicians do. And bringing a physician like Dr. Pat in with you, just, you know, from the minute you step foot in the door, it increases your account, your credibility. You know, physicians know what they're talking about. You know, a person like me, I can learn as much as I want, but I still don't know how all this stuff works day to day, you know, laying hands on patients, dealing with payers, things like that. So the second session, we brought in a lot more folks. In fact, Angela Storseth organized a Texas Oncology Day at the Capitol, and we brought a huge group of physicians from around Texas to the Capitol to visit with their legislators, folks from their district, which has always been beneficial. And, you know, having those boots on the ground just ultimately got us across the finish line, and having that involvement from physicians, I think, was key to that effort.
And Kyle, would you say that going into session, that bill was somewhat controversial?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, starting from the first session, we made an effort. It was a real sticky battle, you know, going back and forth with the payers, trying to hammer out language, you know, then moving the goalposts, and, you know, just ultimately it being obvious that anything that passed was going to be failure for them, and they were going to do whatever they could to prevent that. So starting the second session, you know, when you brought up white bagging, oh my gosh, this again, you know, are we going to do it this time? Yeah, we're going to do it this time. We've learned from our mistakes. You know, we've got a better strategy, and we know what, you know, what pits not to fall into and play in their game. So,
and can you remind me what the rough vote tally was for that bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we came out of committee in both the House and the Senate unanimously. In the House, I believe we passed the bill with only one nay vote, and it was actually somebody who had voted for the bill in committee and just voted against it to be funny because they were good friends with the bill author. And then we ended up coming out of the Senate unanimously. So, you know, every member of the legislature voted for our white bagging bill.
Yeah, that was my not so subtle way of saying, don't sell yourself short. You guys did a phenomenal job. You took a bill that was seemingly controversial, but also probably DOA in a number of folks' eyes, and you got it across the finish line almost unanimously, signed by the governor. Kudos to you guys. That was awesome.
Thanks, and kudos to the U.S. Oncology team. I mean, we obviously, you know, wouldn't have done it and couldn't have done it without Angela, Dr. Pat, and the folks there in Texas.
Yes. Although I think each of us tried to convince Angela to join today's episode, she refused, which also means that she wouldn't be able to counter anything that you want to say. No, I'm joking. Look, I think I agree with you. She was on the ground. She did a phenomenal job getting that legislation across the finish line. So, but thanks, Kyle. I appreciate it. Sean?
Yeah, Ben, I'll bring up a few issues from the past and then kind of where we are now. You know, when I first started, and Ben, you were directly involved in state government those days with Certificate of Need and expanding that in Oregon, and we had to exempt oncology clinics from that. And so that was a, you know, from the very beginning, that's kind of how I got started working with you all. And then over the years, a lot of PBM reform bills, I know Angela came and worked in Oregon on those bills in the past. And then we had a huge issue come up in 2019 where Oregon passed the corporate activity tax. And when they did that, essentially a gross receipts tax on all, you know, all your receipts, it impacted oncology clinics probably more than anybody because of where we are, you know, in the chain of taxes. Most people can pass those taxes on. Our clinics can't. And when you're talking about Medicaid, Medicare, you know, patients that they serve and being reimbursed less than what, you know, it takes to actually do cover those, it's been a struggle for them. And so we've been working really hard. And it's been a long-term project. Obviously, Angela started working on this in Oregon with our physicians, and Ryan is really aggressively in state doing it right now. And we were really able to get the doctors involved. And so our physician involvement in this has been great with Dr. Fitzharris in the Lemp Valley and Dr. Rushing at Compass. They really, I mean, they, you know, like I said, we
we can put them in the right place, right? But they can tell the story.
Yep.
And they can talk about, and for the messaging, you know, the team at US Oncology has done such a great job on getting them up to speed, keeping them on message, and making it patient focused, right? We can't talk about really, especially in a state like Oregon, it's not about the impact to the clinic. It's about the impact to the patient ultimately.
Yep.
And so when you carry that message and you're able to talk about that, and they are incredible because, you know, I know Ryan spent a lot of hours with them as well as the other doctors, because it just becomes their involvement got a lot of other physicians involved. And we did the same thing, as Kyle said, a legislative day this year. We put them in front of, you know, about 15 legislators, you know, key on that committee. And we came out of that day just, you know, I mean, bipartisan support, people ready to help us. And again, we were unable to get it across the finish line this session, but we're set up in the future, I think, for success. And
good.
And I also, you know, when I listen to Kyle talk about the successes on the white backing issue in particular, we see that in Oregon right now as a problem. And so, you know, we've made some ground on the PBM issues. Again, a trip like this is good for me because it helps me and others. And we're going to bring this into Oregon in next session.
Good.
Yeah, I think there's some pretty strong payer activity in the white bagging space in Oregon that a lot of community practices are worried about. But thanks for also touching on the gross receipts tax issue, because as we come together for this meeting, we really have laid out our top three priorities to kind of really narrow and hone in on. One of them is PBM activities and white bagging and payer mandates. Another one is gross receipts tax issues. And as they pop up in certain states, making the case that taxing a business on revenue doesn't make sense for a medical practice that has such high cost of goods. I mean, chemotherapy drugs are expensive. We have to buy those drugs. And then when we sell them, we get taxed on the full amount. We're not getting taxed on our profit. We're getting taxed on the full amount that's then passed through. And it does. It puts a number of these high-cost drugs simply underwater. And if a drug is underwater, it's very difficult to be able to offer it to those patients. So thanks for your efforts there. Tom?
Well, Ben, I think as you have seen and have been part of, there's been a significant change in terms of policy issues at the state of Minnesota for Minnesota Oncology and U.S. Oncology, really over the last 20 years. The cancer radiation epic battles of Minnesota were really a significant challenge, as you know, and just maintaining an integrated care model for the benefit of the patients was something that was a challenge. The hospitals fought us tooth and nail on, as well as the ability to continue doing cancer radiation and then fighting the hospital only or having to partner with a hospital. Just navigating that to keep what we had was a significant challenge over many years. But that those issues also really morphed into, I think, a change in terms of focus on business issues and patient issues. And that's one of the biggest shifts I've seen is really broadening the perspective. And my colleagues have talked about some of those, but, you know, in particular, the provider tax was one that we spent a lot of time on and worked to get a contingent reduction to have that reduced, to reduce some of the burden to the practice on paying that tax. And then I think there's also a number of regulatory issues that have been really important to the practice, particularly around payers, reimbursement, things like prior authorization, things that really challenge the practice and the staff and the physicians and ultimately hurt the patients or delay care. So we've spent a lot of time negotiating with Blue Cross Blue Shield, with the Department of Commerce to try and get some burdens relieved in that area, as well as expedite some of the process for approval. And I think that, I hope, has helped from the patients. And now we've seen from a legislative perspective, a whole host of different business issues and legislative issues that are going to impact the bottom line for a practice. And whether it's a paid family medical leave program, whether it is expansion of Minnesota Care and what that means to the private market and insurers and how that factors into patients, as well as these healthcare oversight. You know, the state of Minnesota wants to know who's spending what money in what areas, mergers, acquisitions, private equity. These are all topics that the legislature is far more concerned about now than they ever were before. And a lot more data is being driven into the state, and I think is going to drive public policy going forward as to what that means for expansion, growth, and opportunities to maintain. And so I think those are some of the bigger shifts we've seen in issues.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. Yeah, there's Minnesota has been an evolving landscape, I should say. But, you know, one of the other core issues is around anti-competitive behavior. And holy cow, Minnesota has been experiencing some of these pressures for the better part of two decades, with hospitals and other competitors doing everything they can to strangle off. And sometimes it's through legislation. I remember at one time, early on in my tenure in early 2000s, they had passed this a radiation moratorium in the very beginning. And it was the author who said this was to prevent Minnesota Oncology from opening their doors. Targeted. It was insane. So you see these hospitals push forward with these kind of aggressive referral restrictions, but you're also seeing them utilize the legislative avenue to strangle off practices as well. So
no question, Ben. I would say unique in the sense of, you know, I've been practicing for 30 years. I've never seen anything like it with the Minnesota Radiation Oncology push to try and keep their monopoly and partner with hospitals and their lead physician, Dr. Haslow, one of the biggest political givers in the state. Millions of dollars he gave to everybody and anybody. And sadly, it did have an impact on the legislation. And it's just incredibly frustrating to have to deal with that for what is really at the core, a patient issue, patient access, patient convenience, cost. And, you know, and sadly, that law still stands in Minnesota, and we still struggle with competition and the ability to have standalone facilities.
All right, we are going to wrap up and get ready for our next session. But before I do, I'm going to go around and just ask for kind of one or two words on the most interesting aspect of your relationship. What's one of like your fondest or most distraught memories of your relationship with US Oncology? But before I do that, and just as a way to kind of give you some time to think, I do want to thank you all for exactly that last point, because what you do, the work that you do in conjunction with US Oncology on behalf of the provider networks and our practices, you're really standing up for patients. And it's probably not said to you all enough, but on behalf of our patients, thanks for what you're doing. All right, Kyle, we're going to start with you.
You stole a little bit of my thunder there. As I was going to say, you know, getting more involved with Texas Oncology and understanding that the physician's perspective is really about helping their patients, you know, it makes it really worthwhile, you know, working with those docs and getting involved in their issues and understanding that everything we do is going to have an impact down the road on a patient and their family. And really in the advocacy arena, understanding that every legislator, every person you're going to talk to has been touched at some point in their life, either a friend or family, by cancer, you know, it really brings it home. And so I think probably the most valuable aspect of my relationship has just been in that kind of, you know, patient assistance, you know, realm.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, Ben, well, I think I'll give an example this session, and you all know how fluid the legislative process is. Every day, things are very fluid. You're hoping your appointment's going to show up because there's another meeting. We have a whole bunch of meetings set up. And I can tell you just the physician involvement. Dr. Rushing had to come down in the afternoon, and we had several meetings set up with him. And he was instrumental in getting bipartisan support for relief on the CAT tax issue. The man had two surgeries that morning. So, wow. I mean, so... you know, we don't know if he's going to be able to get there on time. So either we're dealing with people who are very busy, and to be able to take that time out of their day,
you know, they're saving lives every day, right? And so to have that experience, he went through two surgeries, shows up and spends all afternoon lobbying all the way till about 6 o'clock that evening. So that's just an example of the dedication of your, you know, the folks in the
network. Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think for me that the greatest asset really is the team, the Minnesota Oncology, U.S. Oncology team, whether it's you, Ben, Angela, Ryan, you know, the folks on the ground, the physicians, the practice administrators, committed, passionate, caring, trying to help the patients and are willing to take the time to come to the legislature to write letters, to work with our medical association or nonprofit groups, you know, American Cancer Society, some of the others to help push policy changes that are going to help patients. And it's just a committed passion that really excites me about representing and working for the team.
Thanks. Thanks, Tom. And thanks, everyone. We enjoyed our relationship, and hopefully we've got many more successes coming down the pipe. All right. So this is it. This is it for this episode. Thank you all for being here. And thanks for joining in to The Link, your link to the legislature.
Thank you for listening to The Link podcast, your link to the legislature. For more information on healthcare policy and the U.S. Oncology Network, visit www.legislink.com.